dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm here because fascism is control of the U.S. and Florida state governments, and it's affecting local governments, too, and education.
The people who have been deported or sent to concentration camp are, in very many cases, construction workers, farmhands, desk clerks, maids in hotels, motels, and condominiums.
It's the long history we've had, and we tried to change, and we were starting to go forward a little bit. Had a little hope. And this fascist comes into office, and everybody changes, and things get cut.
So I have a drinking game. It's only for the really brave or the alcoholic. the new drinking game is go to the watch a city council meeting. This is any city of your choosing. That happens to be Pensacola City, of course, or county commission meeting. And anytime somebody uses the word fascism or how did he say it? Fascist. William Sloan was the speaker there, or Nazi, or references, you know, Germany in the 1930s or 40s, or concentration camp, or autocrat, or any of these other words, then you have to take a drink. And I will tell you that in the public forum, you will not last a long time.
I believe the decision merely complies with the bias directives of autocrats running the federal and state governments. This is not the America I believe in. It has moved towards fascism.
Autocrats, fascists, Nazis, you know.
And now we see across the country more and more Confederate statues are coming back. And more and less blacks and browns and Asians are being harassed on the street in this and justice for all.
And
it's heavily based on race. If you want an example, think of Germany in the 1930s.
There it is.
If you're blonde, blue-eyed, you had a big advantage. That's it, I think. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan.
Okay. By the way, speakers here, William Sloan, Gloria Horning, and Lynn Furt, or I believe is how you say her name. Fent? My eyes are so bad. Fent, I guess. Anyways, how I wrote it here. Okay, so here's the thing. Some people are very, 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 very worked up and frustrated and angry about the current president. And they're expressing themselves in meetings. But the problem is, when you refer to Nazis and fascists and autocrats and Germany and all of this, and you when you call a deportation processing center a concentration camp, you lose me, and I think you lose most everybody, and I don't want you to lose me. I want to hear what you have to say, and I want other people to hear what you have to say. But when you use this kind of hyperbolic language, I don't think anybody listens except, well, I mean, you know, clearly I'm listening, but then I'm playing it on the radio in a way that I'm, and I don't like to make fun of people who get up and go to a council meeting and are engaged as citizens and actually bother to participate. But it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. No. Are there concerns about the president? Are there things that he does that raise questions and show a lack of full comprehension for the federalist system or the constitutional powers and checks and balances? And does he say things that allow him to be characterized in some of these extreme? Oh, yeah. Do you, I mean, really? Like, really? You honestly believe that he's putting us on the path to Germany in the 1930s? You really, I mean, really? You really believe that? No, I know the answer is yes. Well, yes, we really do. Okay. I mean, I know a democracy is going to encompass a lot of range of people. But really? You know, that's kind of what I want to say is I also have concerns. I also observe problems. I also see dangers. But that's the viewpoint that you are living in every day, is that this country is on the path to mid-20th century style fascism, or that we're already there? Okay. I guess we're going to have to talk some more. But again, my advice is, take it for what you will, because you obviously think I'm as crazy as I think you're crazy. But my advice would be, learn how to say it in a more effective way. Because the only people you're persuading are the people who already agree with you. And unless that's your goal, unless that's your goal is to all get around and, you know, in your non-ivory tower and share your memes on social media and be convinced that you're self-righteous. I mean, if that's your goal, that's great. You know, you can feel very proud of yourself. But if your goal is to engage in a civic conversation and to really persuade people, bring something more thoughtful. Bring something more full of examples. Bring something less screedy, if you will. And people will listen. 437-1620. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash West Fairfield Drive at Mobile Highway. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. 437-1620. Somebody says, have you met people? Oh, this is about the social, about the driving thing that I brought up last hour. Have you met people? I have. All right. What else? In Germany, people obey laws. Oh, this is oddly confluent because we were talking about not having speed limits or the possibility of, you know, letting people pick the speed that they're going to drive because, you know, if we can't trust them to make good judgments, then why do we trust them with a driver's license at all? And if we can't trust them with good judgments, then why do we force them to drive a speed that they clearly don't want to drive? And so in that context, right, in Germany, in the Autobahn, in Germany, people obey the laws. You pass on the left, you drive on the right. My comfort zone was 110. People were driving as fast as 160, way past mine. Yeah, and by the way, there's actually, if you're going to get rid of speed limits, and my whole life I have hated speed limits, but if you're going to get rid of them, there is a value to people driving at a similar rate, whatever that rate is. That's why when everybody's going fast, you feel the need to speed up, because it's not great to have everybody driving at different speeds on the road. And so a speed limit as a guidance or as an indicator of what the norm is, or as somebody said, to get them to speed up, to get the slow people to speed up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's true. By the way, in Germany, as I recall, man, it's been years, but as I recall, they actually have some guidance about speed and excessive speeding, dangerous speed. You know, it's the Autobahn is typically the example of there's no speed limit. And that may be true, but there's still a, you know, A, you much heavier licensing. Right? People, it's harder to get a driver's license. In America, we give you a driver's license because, you know, here's a driver's license. Here's some candy. You know, like everybody gets one, which is not a great plan. 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says here, if we were fascists, these people wouldn't be openly protesting. They'd have been disappeared decades ago. True. I mean, the fact that people can say such ridiculous, outrageous things and not be apprehended in the middle of the night is sort of an argument against the truth of what they're saying. So, weirdly, they're disproving their own point. I mean, they're still around, right? Somebody else says, let's see, these are the same clowns who supported the COVID lockdowns, mandatory face masks, mandatory vaccinations, calling everyone else fascist. Certainly, there's some inconsistency in people's viewpoints over time. That's true. Let's see, Democrats seem to only parrot the party lines. Notice how they are always saying the exact same phrases. You know, it's weird, too, because a lot of these folks, I mean, again, they took time to show up to the meeting. They're clearly educated enough to know some of these reference points. They don't sound stupid, right? I mean, they sound like ordinary, normal people. And I take them at their word. And I know Gloria Horning, you know, personally. So But people just get themselves caught up in extremes and excess. Let's see. Somebody says, as far as the mail-in voting, how about a voting app? What could go wrong? Yeah. All right. Oh, somebody else says two-factor authentication for some kind of two-factor authentication regarding your ballot for mail-in voting. I'm like, yeah, if it's good enough for, you know, Facebook or social media, not that that's the great paradigm. Somebody else says they told me that their son had asked for a mail-in ballot twice and never got it checked, and those ballots never got counted. So it's not like they got fraudulent, but still. I like to vote in person, personally. I am a big fan of go on the day for a lot of reasons. Partially, it's a ritual. Partially, it's a way to react to whatever's happened in the last 24 hours. If things can change, you know, and you might regret your vote. My wife, on the other hand, hates going to the vote. It's a waste of time in her mind. She loves mail-in balloting. Let's see. So how come nobody states the obvious about the only president who actually set up concentration camps in the U.S. was a Democrat named Roosevelt? Yeah, the internment camps of the Japanese. Not our finest moment. Not our finest moment. And much more. I mean, they weren't really concentration camps either. We weren't executing the Japanese, right? I mean, that was because we were worried about disloyalty, right? But and not to justify. They were horrible things. But yeah, this notion that the alligator Alcatraz or the what's the one that deportation depot that they're calling it in Texas, it's a processing facility to deport people. That's what it is. And also there's, and I know it's imperfect. I get it. But the idea that, you know, these are concentration camps, that just words have meaning. And when you use them for the inappropriate, you ruin the meaning and the power of the original. But this is a story as old as time. People trying to borrow on terminology that does not really apply, right? 437-1620 seems that these people are trying to induce bedlam. You know, actually, I'm gonna be as generous as I can. I think they're genuinely scared. I think they're genuinely afraid. I think they watch some news source and they talk to their friends who watch that same news source and they cannot believe that all the rest of us don't see the evil and the injustice and the pathway to authoritarianism that we are on. And they just, you know, they've been frustrated at other people before, but my God, have you seen what Trump is doing? I mean, he's deploying the military to round up American citizens and whatever nonsense that they believe. And again, I think there are legitimate criticisms of the president. I've made many of them on this show. And if you pair the legitimate criticisms with some of his ridiculous things he says that do not help with a very biased and prejudicial presentation of the facts, you know, it's easy for people to be led into this kind of weird, terrified view of what's happening in our country. And so I think they're being genuine. I think they are. I hope they are. Could they also be just Saul Alinsky subversives trying to, I mean, you know, it's possible. Anything is possible. 722 on News Radio 92.3. And by the way, being legitimately scared doesn't mean that your fears are legitimate, right? Being honest about your fear does not mean that your fear isn't invented or exaggerated. But at least we could start from the premise that I think they genuinely are scared. They genuinely believe this stuff. And that's a concern. But that's the truth of it.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When you need any job done outdoors, you need Five Star Outdoor Services. They handle it all. Lawn care, landscaping, power washing, concrete, clearing, decks, privacy fencing, you name it, they can do it. With pride in their work and at a price that's right. Five Star Outdoor Services is a local company with your satisfaction their main goal. Dependable, reliable, and affordable. See for yourself. Google Five Star Outdoor Services or check them out on Facebook for all jobs outdoors. Five Star Outdoor Services. Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Oh, no! Mom's favorite vase.
She always says, don't play ball in the house.
...726 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a new vehicle crash with injuries. Schubert Drive at North Davis Highway. They're saying there's a roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. The Garcon Point Toll Plaza is going cashless. So it is going to be where you either do toll by plate with the, monthly fee, or you do SunPass or some compatible pass system. So that's coming. The FDOT's been putting out a bunch of, my social media has seen this like 100 times. I don't know why it thinks I'm the user of the Garcon Point Bridge. I have driven it. I don't know. I've paid that toll maybe one time in my life, I think, in the 11 years that we've lived here. And we drove it, of course, when we had to, when that was the only way around to go to Gulf Breeze, but when it was free, right? So 437-1620. If you're thinking about a home purchase or sale or both, you want to, move to the beach, from the beach, move to the county, the city, to the country, to the, everybody's got different, you got to upsize, downsize, family's increasing, family's, empty nesters, whatever. You just tired of mowing the lawn, you want to get a condo, whatever. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with all of those and any questions that you might have. They sold 165 homes last year, really, really prolific, 3.5-4 homes every single week, week after week, because they just, they've got this process of sales down to a formula, basically. But also because they'll listen to you, they'll talk with you, they'll figure out what you want to accomplish and try to help you do it. And they just take that professionalism of doing all the little things, very, very seriously. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, central Ukraine had some Russian attacks overnight. Local officials say it shows that Vladimir Putin doesn't want peace. The attacks come a day after a meeting between President Trump, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and European leaders at the White House. Texas House Republicans want to get moving with their redistricting process. House Speaker Dustin Burroughs warning lawmakers their schedules are going to be demanding until that's done. The Democrats that fled the state have now returned. Democrat House members, of course, left in that protest of this special session. And more news out of Texas. Good news this time. Measles outbreak is over. That's according to the Department of State Health Services. It's been more than 42 days now since a new case was reported.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 728 on News Radio 92.3. If you need a roof, and I know you don't want to, but at some point you got to replace that roof, especially because you want to make sure that you're safe during storm season. Quality Roofing Solutions. It's kind of funny. I had our salespeople have been talking with them about maybe me doing live ads for them. And I asked my wife, I said, do you know anything about them? And, she's always, paying attention to stuff that I don't always pay attention to. She's like, they come up all the time on Nextdoor. Like, people will all the time ask, hey, who's a good roofer? They are always on this list. And I looked them up, and 4.9 on Google Reviews, which is pretty amazing. And then I got to talking with him, Brian Ward. He's the owner and founder, started the company 19 years ago in 2006. And I love what they do. Like, they just have the idea of, we're going to take care of people, we're going to be straight with them, we're going to return their phone calls, we're going to take photos of everything we do so there's a digital record before and after so that you can show to your insurance people if you need to, or God forbid you need to make a claim. We'll 100%, we'll warranty, you know, stand by it with a lifetime warranty for the roof, which is kind of amazing. But again, I just can't get over that. 4.9 on Google reviews after having put in, what, like 10,000 roofs? It's crazy. Nobody's like that. But they do all these little things, like having a warehouse here so that if, God forbid, a storm hits, they've got materials and they can operate. They're not susceptible to supply chain issues. They have these, like, roving vans of materials that go around and, you know, basically scan in and scan out materials, which helps efficiency on the job site and accuracy on the billing. So just, it's 100 little things that they do right. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Sheriff Simmons. And you remember that case where the allegation was that his deputies didn't properly honor the Miranda rights of one of the defendants? We'll talk with him about that. Coming up next.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Timetable to a potential peace deal stopping Russia's war in Ukraine. President Trump this morning on Fox and Friends.
I hope President Putin is going to be good. And if he's not, it's going to be a rough situation. And I hope that President Zelensky will do what he has to do. He has to show some flexibility also.
More from Fox's Alexandra Hoff at the White House.
The president also fielded a phone call with President Putin, writing this: at the conclusion of the meetings, I called President Putin and began the arrangements for a meeting at a location to be determined between President Putin and President Zelensky. After that meeting takes place, we will have a trilat, which would be the two presidents plus myself. So we're told this potential meeting could take place in the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Air Canada settles a strike with 10,000 flight attendants. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 76 degrees. We've got sunshine and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Our weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. Pensacola Catholic High School student facing charges for making a school threat, but not at his school, at a school in Waukee, Iowa, over 1,000 miles away near Des Moines. The juvenile student was arrested last week after making a threat to the Iowa school on Instagram. Escambia deputies say that they took an abundance of caution, had extra deputies on hand to investigate. The school does say the suspect was enrolled at the school but is no longer enrolled there. Parents were notified after the arrest, and students were given the option of staying home the day of the incident. Right now, there's no word on whether that juvenile will face charges federally or in the state of Iowa. Escambia Fire Rescue hosting a physical abilities test next week. That'll be held Tuesday, August 26th. At the Pensacola Fire Department, the test is open to anyone that wants to join the fire department. The testing includes push-ups, sit-ups, a 1.5-mile run, charged hose pull, Kaiser sled, and a tower evolution. If you pass, you could go on and become a cadet. The county says certified firefighters receive numerous benefits. Now, officials investigating after a 48-year-old man was found stabbed in his front yard yesterday. Officials say Timothy Prayer died at the scene on his yard on Dogwood Drive Monday afternoon. He was found by a home health nurse that arrived for an appointment. The sheriff's office is looking for 27-year-old Shayna Gully for questioning in that case. If you have any information, contact the sheriff's office. Amtrak's Mardi Gras service between New Orleans and Mobile started operating this week. It's the first time a passenger train has gone that far southeast, at least in decades. But it likely won't be expanding out to Pensacola anytime soon. Mobile is against that move. They've threatened to terminate their contract with Amtrak if they expand north or east.
They fear it will congest traffic in the port of Mobile because the Alabama Terminal Railroad has to cross CSX to get cars over to the shipping channels, whether it's to load train cars on the ships that go to Mexico or to get goods from their yards.
Amtrak spokesperson Jerry Geeman: for now, that route runs between Mobile and New Orleans and has two departures per day from each city, stops along the coast in Mississippi on the way. Well, a South Florida mother suing popular children's game Roblox, saying it enabled a pedophile to groom and rape her daughter. An attorney with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation says the proper legislation could have prevented that from happening.
Big tech is not going to make their platform safe unless they're forced to through litigation or regulation.
And it's attorney Danny Pinter, and she says the greatest threats to society and children are all online. Roblox has already been subpoenaed by the state. Attorney General James Uthmeyer wants information on how the game is marketed to kids and how they monitor chat rooms. The game company says they use age estimation software. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Schubert Drive at North Davis Highway. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a small chance of rain this afternoon, 30% overall, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 92. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Thursday, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
76 and sunshine across the area. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SoftBank is buying stock equal to roughly 2% of Intel's outstanding shares in a $2 billion investment in the chipmaker. Intel shares have lost 60% of their value last year as the company failed to gain traction in the artificial intelligence market that's dominated by NVIDIA. A California bill ensures homeowners receive at least some of the interest on insurance payouts held in escrow accounts after catastrophic losses. The bill heads to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk for his signature. Palo Alto Networks topped Wall Street estimates and issued better-than-expected guidance for the first quarter and full year. The results come weeks after Palo Alto announced plans to buy Israeli identity security provider CyberArk for $25 billion, its heftiest deal ever. Palo Alto also said its founder and chief technology officer Nir Zuk is retiring. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 34, the NASDAQ up 6. That's Your Money Now.
Flashlights? Check. Camp stove? Check. Canned goods? Check. Ice chests? Check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Man, we haven't talked in 2 weeks, and it shows. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start with, we have breaking news in the, overnight arrest of the Shanna Gully, the woman that you've been looking for in connection with this, front yard stabbing homicide. Is that right?
That's pretty much it, yeah. We had gotten a call that an individual had a stab wound, and he was laying in the front yard of his home. Indication was that he had been dropped off about 2 hours earlier by a taxi cab. And then as we're during the course of the investigation, we figured out that Ms. Gully was also living in the residence and that she had been there briefly. So we wanted to talk to her. She was nowhere to be found. But I can report that as I'm on the way over here, they texted me and told me that they have her in custody. She also had a warrant for her for domestic violence, I believe, on the same victim.
Okay.
And so we're going to serve that warrant. I'm not saying we're going to charge her with a homicide, at least not yet.
Okay.
But I will tell you that we did find her. She is at the sheriff's office now being charged with the domestic violence warrant. So we're no longer looking for her, but we are obviously continuing the investigation.
All right. Very good. It's good police work. I have been telling people that I was going to ask you a question that I had meant to ask you at least 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. But we had this case with the LD Clarity murder, mm-hmm. and this case where these guys go to a party. They see him at the party. They think he's somebody else. They call their buddies. They follow him in their two cars. They open fire, shooting, 50 bullets or something at the two cars, killing him, wounding his friend. And some of these charges have gotten dropped over the years, which I think is weird. Maybe you know more about that than I do. But the one charge against one of the brothers who was in the second car is because he was the driver, not the shooter, is how I understand it. You correct me if I get any of this wrong. But the claim in the trial court and then the appeals court was that he had asked for a lawyer 3 times during hours-long questioning by your deputies. Your deputies failed to provide him his Miranda access to an attorney, got a confession out of him, essentially a felony murder confession, because he said, I don't know why I'm being charged with murder. I just drove the car. Under the felony murder rule, if you drive the car to a murder, you're charged with murder too. And so now he's going to have to be either retried or, well, we'll see what will happen. Did I get any of my facts wrong? And then how do you respond? It's because I know, the implication is that your deputies didn't do their job. How can your deputies not know Miranda rights? This is a basic thing. So I wanted to give you a chance to respond to all this.
Yeah, that's, we got to go back and talk about the interview itself. So we conducted the interview, and I'll get into a little more detail. I'll paraphrase some of the details in the interview. And then what happens is the state attorney's office, who is present throughout this entire investigation, the state attorney's office, lawyers, right?
So they're watching the interview.
They're aware of what's going on. They're aware of how the interviews go. They're aware of the context. They see the interviews, and many times they're actually there watching from a screen.
Just like you see on TV.
Okay. And then it goes to trial, and then the trial court has what they call a suppression hearing, which means that they decide whether this evidence should be suppressed or should not be suppressed. And so the trial court judge, the circuit judge here, decided, nope, it's legal, it's legitimate. And so the trial goes on, he is convicted, and then ultimately sentenced to life in prison or whatever it was. And then later on, they appeal, and an appeals court says, wait, we don't like that interview. We think it should go back. So let me first say this. If you ask for an attorney, we will close our book. In fact, this is what happened. We closed the book, we walked out of the office, and then this individual re-engaged. So if you re-engage the conversation, then we go back in and re-Mirandize you.
Okay.
We did everything we were supposed to do in that particular situation. And then this happened a couple more times. Maybe I should talk to a lawyer. And then we leave, and he calls us back in. You can call us back in. You can re-engage in a conversation. There has been a lot of case law on that. So what the
kind of like if somebody says, I want to remain silent and then starts talking.
Right. Yeah.
They know they can remain silent, but if they start talking, they start talking.
That is our stance. In fact, that was the state attorney's office stance before they took the case to court. That was the trial court judge, I think it's Judge Simon. That was his stance in the suppression hearing, and now the appeals court. And again, I don't have to agree with them. That's just the way things are. So now the state attorney's office, has the option of appealing that appeals court ruling.
Right.
Retrying the case.
Right.
So
they're
still working on doing that. That's not up to the sheriff's office. I just wanted to make sure that people understood. We're not out there just, 1970s, cop shows, with Sipowicz and this type of thing. We're not doing that. Once he asked for an attorney, and I didn't look at it, so I'm paraphrasing. He asked for an attorney. It's described to me as that the deputy closed the notebook up and walked out the door, and then he knocked on the door and reengaged the conversation. That's why you have a suppression hearing. That's why we won the suppression hearing in the circuit court. And then again, they went to appeals court and they felt differently. That's the situation that we live in.
That all makes perfect sense to me. Is there any part of it that you looked at or know about that would warrant discipline, violation of policy? Anything that concerns you? Because, again, the implication was that, your deputies really, didn't know what their job was and screwed everything up, right? That's kind of the general takeaway the public has is, my God, how come the sheriff's office doesn't know about this? Everybody knows you get a right to an attorney when you ask for one. And based on your account, it seems much more reasonable. And as you said, there's a suppression hearing and you go right through all this process. But even so, is there any part of this that you're uncomfortable with or that they needed retraining? Or is there any part of this that you've addressed internally as a, hey, we ran up against this problem, let's change our policy? I mean, anything like that?
No, I think that when you interview someone, it's an art. I mean, you talk to someone and then you take opportunities to discuss things at length with them, and then you try to catch them in a lie. You do different things. Or in many cases, we talk to someone and they explain things and say, okay, we understand that. That makes perfect sense. Maybe you're not the guy. And that happens a lot, actually. I do not think that there is a violation of policy. We do not believe there's a violation of law. And I guess I would disagree that the public thinks that there was. I think people now understand that, judicially speaking, that there are phrases that are used that may not be, not all of us agree with. And, I've seen a lot of these things. And as I understand from the interview itself, if I read Andrew McKay, your rights, and everyone knows what they are now because they watch TV.
Right.
You have the right to remain silent, Andrew, and I walk away and you say, hey, I want to talk to that deputy, that investigator. And then we come back in, we can talk to you. That's been the case for years. That's not a violation. So I would respectfully disagree with the appeals court decision. But we live in a world of laws and we'll follow the rules and where we're at now is that they're going to decide whether to appeal that decision or retry it.
I have another quick follow-up, but hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Sheriff Simmons. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Schubert Drive at North Davis Highway. They're saying there's a roadblock. Use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
So, Sheriff, just quick follow-up is, it as a civilian who hasn't followed this case all that closely, okay, you and I talk about a lot of these cases when they happen. I'm not the kind of reporter that goes and follows all of them extensively thereafter. To hear that cases against these alleged murderers have been dropped is frustrating to me because I thought we had the bad guys, we knew what they did, and some of them cases have been dropped.
A multiple car drive-by killing a civilian.
I'm like,
to be served. You have. There were a number of people that we think were involved in it. As you recall, we think that it was a case of mistaken identity. We think they were trying to target someone else.
Right.
There was a conviction, and I cannot speak for the state attorney's office. They had, if I recall correctly, they had dropped some cases for a double jeopardy type of situation that they didn't want to run into I think it was a speedy trial type issue. So I can't speak for the state attorney's office. All I can do is speak for the work of the men and women of the sheriff's office, who put days and days and months of work into this particular case. This is a case where, a lot of people knew LD We obviously knew of him, and I'm acquaintance with his family, and I've known him from the coaching ranks for years, but we were working at length on these cases, and all we can do is bring the cases forward, and then the decision to prosecute, when to prosecute, who to prosecute, and how to prosecute, is up to the state attorney's office, and then ultimately, in this particular case, the decision on what evidence is suppressed and what evidence is not suppressed is out of my control. I think that to say that the deputies did something wrong is I don't believe is factual, and I think it's a disservice to the hard work and the professionalism of the sheriff's deputies.
Switching gears a little bit, a story that I think caught all of our attention, I guess a former Catholic high student, I guess he's not enrolled right now, but in any case, a Catholic high student had been involved in making school threats against an Iowa school, and this is one of your cases that you at least started this case, right?
Yeah, we take all these school threats, or what is conceived to be or perceived to be a school threat, we take those very serious. In this case, we got word that a student at that was still enrolled at Catholic
high school. Okay, still at the time. Okay, got it.
At the time, had made a threat. Their threat was posted on a northern, I can't remember, Wisconsin, Illinois, wherever.
Iowa, I think.
Iowa, okay. They're all the same to me.
Ouch. Go on. Go
all
on.
The Midwestern states. Way up there. But the threat itself was that there was going to be some violence at a school. And we could not discount the fact that we saw the threat, and it could potentially have meant the school that he's actually going to now, which was Catholic High School. So we ultimately ended up making their arrest. And what they did with him and how they handled him in school, I don't know. I think I heard your story about the threat was made at a school up north, and our perception was the threat was made at the school that he was attending.
Gotcha.
And so we took action.
Des Moines, by the way. It was Iowa,
Iowa, yeah.
You've also got some of these, like, cases that don't really add up. You and I talk about this a lot, where people tell you a story, and you're like, So, okay, at Oakwood Terrace, the former Truman Arms, you've got this concrete wall. And you got a guy who shows up at a convenience store outside the wall, up the road, I guess. 17-year-old who's been shot, in the hand?
Right.
And the story, as I heard it, was he stumbled on an argument, got scared, ran away, didn't even realize he'd been shot until he got to the store, running away from this gunplay. But yeah, that may not quite add up.
Yeah, these are the claims that they make. So when we first heard that, I'm like, wait a minute. There's a big concrete wall, and you're telling me you heard someone arguing. All of a sudden, you realize that your hand has been shot, and so you run to a store. Didn't make a lot of sense. And then when we start to putting things together, it made less and less sense as it moved on. We also got another independent call that someone accidentally shot themselves in the hand. So we got
which
a call
seems
someone
a lot more plausible.
Shot themselves in the hand, and then this argument across the wall that somehow gets shot. Some magic bullet that strikes an individual. So putting two and two together, we figured it didn't happen exactly the way it panned out. And that's just what we get. We get information that there's no way it could be accurate, but we still investigate it fully. And then we look at it at the end of the day, we write, hey, we don't think it happened the way it's claimed to have happened.
Gotcha.
Speaking of that, I got another one.
Oh, another case of a shooting where things are maybe not exactly what they seem like they're saying?
Case of the preposterous, yes. I think that this case, there was a guy that claimed that he was in a hotel with a female.
Not his wife?
I don't know their relationship.
Okay,
They were at a hotel, a local hotel. And he's laying around minding his own business. She's apparently in the hotel room with him. All of a sudden, he falls asleep, and then he wakes up with his foot shot up.
Story as old as time. Happens every day. Randomly shot in the sleep and keeps sleeping. It just happened the other day. Yeah.
And so we're talking to him. Wait a minute. You're sleeping, and you're not talking to anyone. All of a sudden, you wake up, and your foot got a bullet in it. And he said, that's the way it happened. So the lady was there. So what did you hear? All I heard was gunshots. I had no idea. A gunshot. I had no idea what happened. Didn't see anything. I guess she was looking left, and the shooting must have been to the right. So,
the phantom sleep foot shooter theory is what we're working on here.
No one knows anything about anything except if someone's got a bullet.
Well, sleep shooting is real. You can sleepwalk, you can sleep talk, you can sleep shoot. Why not? You know,
and then
even if you don't have a gun,
he don't want to press charges on whoever this person is that somehow magically got into the room. And shot off.
Did you find a gun even? Do you know?
No.
Did they bother looking?
Okay. No. All right. He went to the hospital, and he's still claiming that he was dreaming.
He's the victim of a sleep shooting. Okay. All right. But as you say, it's what was your word? Preposterous.
It was.
Yeah. Okay. And we've also, we don't have a lot of time, but we've also had a two self-defense? One where a woman shot a guy in self-defense, and then that's on Castlegate. And then you had another one with a machete attack self-defense, too, shooting?
Yeah, we talk a lot about protecting yourself in Escambia County, and if you think that reasonably you're in danger, you can take action to protect yourself.
Right.
In that case, there was a struggle for a gun, and she was able to get the gun and shot him. I think shot him in the face, actually. And that's the one case. And then the more recent one we had, there was an individual that got into an argument with a woman and attacked her with a machete or came at her with a machete. She ended up firing and shooting him once in the chest. So neither one of these women will be charged. We feel like it was reasonable for them to believe that their life or someone else's life was in danger. So
okay.
It's been a busy couple of weeks since you were gone.
All right. You got any good stuff coming up you want to promote? I feel like we ought to end on a good note. You know, so got all this death and mayhem.
Protecting yourself to me is a good thing.
Okay. And, all right. Fair enough. That's citizens doing their job.
And
right?
Being able to defend our deputies on this interview with the Clarity case is, I think, it's a good thing.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
We do have a Citizens Law Enforcement Academy. We're in week three on Thursday. So that has been, we have over 60 people, right at about 60 people that are attending the class. Very engaged. We were at a training room last week, and now we'll be at
No. Go ahead. I think that you and I haven't talked since I drove.
No, right. Yeah, you're.
And now we're totally out of time. Training. We'll have to wait.
Yeah, we'll have to do it next.
I will tell you, I hate this shuffle steering. Oh, I hate the shuffle. I can't do it. I've tried. I have tried to do it, and I'm telling you, I don't care how good Deputy Cole is. He's taught me, and I hate it.
It's
not comfortable.
It is you.
It is. Yeah. Do you like it?
No. Well, I mean, it's what you're comfortable with, and I think once you get used to it, you're a little bit more comfortable with that sort of steering.
Okay. All right. I get the value, but okay. We'll have to talk about that next time. I completely forgot that happened since we talked. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for clarifying some of these things. And, man, please tell your folks we appreciate what they do, because we really do.
You bet. Y'all take care.
PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a hit-and-run crash Pensacola Boulevard at Hope Drive. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
WeCare Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, my house is hot.
Hey, when the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Florida State football is coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
They drew first blood, not me.
Look, Johnny, let me come in and get you the hell out of there.
They drew first blood.
Somebody was asking on one of my Gen X forums that I'm in on Facebook, you know, what's the best Sylvester Stallone movie? Can't say Rambo, can't say Rocky. I'm like, well, I mean, what, Cobra? All right, let's see.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash, that's right. Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, Hurricane Aaron bringing some big waves to a surfing competition happening in Virginia Beach this week. The Coastal Edge Coast Surfing Championships happening all this week. And surfers competing say they're either excited or, scared. Aaron's expected to bring 12 to 18-foot waves to the Atlantic coast this week. The championships bring in about 300 surfers from three dozen countries. Organizers do say they are ready to move the competition to different days if they need to in order to keep people safe.
It's looked kind of rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle some humongous waves. But, you know, just like I told the guy on ABC, danger is my business.
Right?
Everything.
I mean, if Spicoli's not leading your life choices, then you're probably not doing it right. So, you know, man up, get out there, take those tasty waves. Right?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
He keeps trying to broker peace talks between the leaders of Russia and Ukraine. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
I wouldn't say they are ever going to be best friends.
President Trump on Fox and Friends the morning after meeting with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky following his summit in Alaska with Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
We're setting up a meeting. I sort of set it up with Putin and Zelensky. And, you know, they're the ones that have to call the shots.
Now, the Wall Street Journal reports Zelensky is said to be